Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I am really, really passionate about in 2025. I end every show, be great, spread love. Being great come with a price. Spreading love is priceless. And, you know, I got the whole Landmade thing going on, but this Be Great, Spread Love, I thought, like, okay, I need a nonprofit. I need a foundation. I need a home to do everything it is that I need to do to give back to the community, to inspire the youth, to restore faith and hope, to give them resources, to have other people come and be mentors, you know, to financial literacy and just putting them in position to win, because it talks about, this speech really talks about, you know, no matter what your life circumstances are, no matter where you come from, you can be somebody. You can seek out to be a sports media personality if you come from the inner city and you didn't come from, you know, a home that really prepared you to take on the world. If you still believe in yourself and you have that self-confidence, you can still go out here and be somebody and do some things. And it's important for me to, you know, put that back into the community. You know, when I started Landmade, I was in Ohio Media School, and it was about one day trying to build a studio in Cleveland, Ohio, for people who wanted to do sports media, kind of like what Tyler Perry did in Atlanta for people who wanted to do movies. And I wanted to have a home for people of all genders, all races, all creeds, all religions to explore their dream. I got this chip on my shoulder when people tell you you can't make it in Cleveland, or that you got to move to these Atlantas and LAs and New Yorks to be somebody and do something major. And I've never had that mentality. I see so many people, I hear so many people talking about, I want to leave Cleveland. You know, I can't find no inspiration here, man. This is my home. What do I look like trying to be somebody, become somebody, and not nourish the city that raised me?
Hey, man. Everything you just said points to a quote we have coming up about you have a responsibility to make the nation better. And that's the no truer example of everything you just said. There is some kind of a pride and that we need to take in making our community better.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only way it's going to get any different. You know, we can't just expect somebody else to make it better, somebody else to do it. We have to, and sometimes it's not even the big things. It's little things. It's, you know, taking a group of five kids in the neighborhood, or, you know what I'm saying, dude, just start there. And, you know, that's really where we can start. You know, it doesn't have to be something grandiose and big. We just have to, you know, do the little things to make a big change.
Big facts. Speaking of big changes, you know, one of the biggest changes for Andrew Berry is, for the first time in a long time in his tenureship as the Cleveland Browns general manager, he has a first round pick to his disposal. It's been a long time coming, but we knew eventually we was going to pick in the first round again. And as we have this conversation, I want to make sure I'm being fair. I don't beat up on Mr. Berry.
Yeah, you do.
I don't want to. No, I like Andrew.
I know you. I know you like him.
Because I like and I respect Andrew, man. This is a brother in a high position of power that's the same age as me, man. And that is rare. Like, I look at Mr. Berry and be like, man, where did I go wrong? where did I make my mistakes at in life, bro? You 37, I'm 37. This is what you got going on. But in all seriousness, man, when we start analyzing and dissecting Andrew Berry, as a fan base, we went from laser eyes, Andrew Berry is our homie, we got back, we ride with AB, to including me, Andrew Berry need to be fired. Including me. And I can own that. And that's tough when you get to a point to where you verbalize calling for somebody's job, you know. Is that right or wrong? That's to be determined, but that's how I felt. I felt like him and Kevin Stefanski should have both been let go. But they were awarded another opportunity to redeem themselves, right? To uncompromise the integrity, to go out here and show that they're capable of more and better. And as you alluded to, do people change, right? And awarding people the opportunity to change and show you that they are better, I'm all for that. Because if it wasn't for people or awarding me certain opportunities, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at right now.
Facts.
So with that being said, when we go over his draft, since he's been a general manager here, how would you grade it? Just the draft aspect of it. How would you grade it? How would you grade it overall?
He gets probably a C.
It's a C?
It's a C.
And just off the top of your head, if you just assess, you know, 4 or 5 years of Andrew Berry drafting, how would you grade it?
I was gonna say about a C. I mean, I was just looking up his top 100 picks. Jed Wills was his only first round pick, Grant Delpit, Jordan Elliott, Jacob Harrison Bryant was there.
216-474-0092. How would you assess and what grade would you give Andrew Berry draft picks alone during his tenure of the Cleveland Browns general manager? For me, I would go about a C as well.
I'm just looking at it, and I pulled it up. There's a lot of good finds. Mike Hall, Zach Zinter.
Let's start the other way. Not to cut you off, right? Let's start the other way because I like to go negative first so we can highlight the positive, right? Okay. Jed Wills. That was not it. Okay.
But you know what? I'll argue that when you had an offensive line coach, he looked way better, or he looked different the year before last in 2023 than he did in 2024.
That was the best he looked before he got hurt towards the end of that last year. But Bill Callahan couldn't even get the most out of that kid. And to me, when it came to Jed Wills, in my opinion, it was always a matter of like consistent effort, right? It was always a matter of, did you internally want to do the things necessary to make you good or great? You know, and I don't know if the pressure of being a guy that was quote unquote brought here to like replace Joe Thomas was a thing, but that's what it looked like. That's what it felt like. So you go Grant Delpit. I think Grant Delpit is a solid pick.
So on Jed Wills, if you had to put him in a category, was it a good, bad, or an okay pick?
It's a bad pick.
Okay.
It's a bad pick. Grant Delpit, second round pick, former Thorpe Award winner. He was drafted number 44 overall. Grant Delpit is one of the AB picks to have received a contract extension. Up until last season, I thought that Delpit, you know, trajectory was going in the right direction. Last year was a step back for him, but last year probably was a step back for a couple casts on that defense, right? And so I think it's a humbling experience that they went through, and now you got to come back and try to right that ship. So me, I'll put that as a good pick. I'll put that as a good pick.
I'll say that's an okay pick. He's also had injury issues, and again, what good are you being a productive player if you don't play? So, I mean, it's not a dig against him, but I need guys who can play as well.
Okay,
I mean,
availability is the best ability. That's true. Jordan Elliott.
That's an okay pick.
Mm.
I think that's why we look at a lot of these guys. I think he has what? I could maybe say off the top of my head, 5 good picks.
So, like, here's the thing. Third round pick, right? He was drafted number 88 overall. So, you look at this draft. This is 3 picks in the top 88. Of those 3 picks in the top 88, Jed got the 5th-year option exercise. I think that's just good business. Grant Delpit got a new deal. Jordan Elliott really didn't even show signs of being a competent, you know, interior lineman. Yeah, until that last year. And then when he kind of peaked even a little bit, he hit the free agency market to go get some more money. Jacob Phillips never panned out. Bad pick. Injuries. Okay, that's fair to say, right? But I don't think we have to say too much behind that. You know, again, third round pick number 97. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 picks in the top 100 in his first draft. The Browns are in a similar situation. You got 4 picks in your top 100. Now, his first draft, right? It takes 3 or 4 years to assess a draft. So if we go off the 4 picks alone, How will we assess Andrew Berry's first draft for the Cleveland Browns as the general manager? What grade would you give his first draft? No honorable mention. Nick Harris, Harrison Bryant, Donovan Peoples-Jones.
It's a C.
It's a C.
It's a C because Wills did have a couple of productive years. He's like two years terrible, 2 years decent.
All right, so year one is a C. At what you got for year one?
I think it's got – I agree. Donovan Peoples-Jones was a difference maker for the sixth round. But again, I think he has a blind spot to that top-end talent. All these guys that we're talking about are sort of diamond in the rough guys. Even Harrison Bryant, when he gets playing time, is solid, but that's a fourth-round pick.
Yeah. Yeah, and here's the thing with Harrison. Didn't he win the award for the best tight end in the country the year that we drafted him?
Yeah, at FAU.
Yeah. So, okay, you look at this, and when you assess it on paper, you say, okay, I got the best tight end in the country by award. I got a former Thorpe Award winner in Delpit. I got a offensive lineman that played for Alabama that comes from winning culture. On paper, it should be cool. Also, I got Jacob Phillips and coming from LSU at a time to where, you know, LSU was balling out like that. So on paper, at first glance, when you look at his first draft, it's easy to be like, damn, he killed that. Right? He did his big one with that. So as we go through our number two, he got four drafts. 1 year down, we assess that overall. I think we give that a C. Let's take one phone call before we get the break, come back, and we get back to it. Bobby in Willowick, good morning, man.
Good morning. How are you? I just want to tell you, I enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you.
But I heard rumors that Prescott may be coming to the Browns. Now, that sounds crazy, but if you think about it logically, we get Prescott, then we pick up a quarterback in the third or fourth round. Prescott, in his day, he was the top five-tier quarterback. You know, and then we could focus on offensive line because our offensive line, and I hate to say this, I'm a Browns fan, but our offensive line got beat up last year, and someone like Nick Chubb and Ford couldn't even run the ball. They're going to hit in the backfield. So we really got to focus on this. But if you think about it, if someone like Prescott comes in and we get a third or fourth round quarterback, he could train them and teach them, and it would be good. It would be good. But Andrew Berry and Stefanski's got to make good choices, good choices. And
okay.
This is something crucial. This is a crucial draft for the Cleveland Browns. Because listen, we all want to get to that Super Bowl, but like I was listening very clearly what you were saying about our draft choices, and he tries because things look good on paper, but may not pan out. That C's got to come up to a B+ for me to be satisfied.
All right, so Bobby, I appreciate the phone call. I hope that you keep listening. So year one, it was an average draft. I'll say this to Bobby. I don't think Bobby heard any rumors. I think Bobby heard the same crazy off-season, silly season talk that started last week when Deion Sanders' name surfaced after Mike McCartney was fired from Dallas to possibly replace Mike McCarthy as the next Dallas Cowboys head coach. And, of course, fan 101 is simple mathematics. Well, Deion's son is draft eligible. Deion will want to coach his son. So if the Titans take Cam Ward, the logical team to trade is the Cleveland Browns. This will not happen for so many reasons. The Cowboys will have damn near $200 million cap hit if they were to trade Dak Prescott. Keep in mind, he signed a contract for $231 million guaranteed just one evening before he played the Cleveland Browns at the beginning of the 2024 season. So that's just silly season talk. When we come back, Cool Ray from Bedford, Frank in the truck, and Nick in Maslin says Berry is a terrible drafter. 216-474-0092. What grade would you give Andrew Berry over his tenure as the Cleveland Browns GM when it comes to his draft picks and draft picks alone? More of that coming up on the fan. Or my man Charles S. Dawson. Shout out to Charles Dawson, who's been a longtime supporter and follower. Tweeted at me a couple things. He said, Mr. Berry played 4 years cornerback, Harvard graduate, summa cum laude, MBA, business, finance, comp. You know, 2 years Wall Street, 8 years personnel. His resume says better than most other teams will fire their squad if AB was available. He says, riddle me this, Earl. How much did Dee Podesta play in Mr. Berry's first draft? The Berry front office has been scouting his year's players for 2 years. Stefanski has been fighting for his job. No time to mess around and find out. AB makes picks. Finally, I'll save you the time for searching. He linked me to his Wikipedia. this conversation is not about what Andrew Berry has accomplished in his life. I think he is a very, very well accomplished, very well educated man, and he's done great for himself in his 37 years on this earth. That is not about that. But I don't think Andrew Berry is above criticism. I don't think none of us are above criticism. And I think it's okay to constructively criticize somebody and share your opinion in a respectful manner when you feel like they have not lived up to your expectations when it comes to part of their job. Andrew Berry is great at finding talent via the trade. I think of the three ways that you go about acquiring talent on a football team. That is clearly, without a doubt, unquestionably his strong suit. I think Andrew Berry struggles when it comes to the draft. I think some of the contracts he's handed out, that's all Deshaun Watson contract aside, because the moment we start talking contracts, it's easy to point to that one. But I go back to a time where the safety position was changing and the market for the safety position was changing. And the money that he handed out to John Johnson III, and how we never seen return on investment. Or how when we signed Troy Hill, Troy Hill got to Cleveland, and it was like that wasn't the same player. He returns back to the L.A. to play for the Rams again, and it was like he learned how, you know, to play football again.
Juan Thornhill looked like a very productive player in Kansas City. He gets here. That man spent a lot of time on the sideline injured, unfortunately.
Yeah, and so, like, it's things like that that you look at. And, you know, we broke down year one of the draft in a room. And I think if you go to his 2021 draft, right? And before we do that, let's take a phone call or two, because people decided to wake up with us on this Monday morning. And it's only right that we give them the proper courtesy to get their voices heard, because they could be doing anything else here. Let's get to Cool Ray in Bedford. Cool Ray, good morning.
Good morning, man. Hey, happy Martin Luther King's Day, though. So
thank you, man. Same to you.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to try to make it, you know, get my thoughts together and make them precise and educated. I think when it comes to AB, we're not looking at the big picture. We're not looking at everything. We're looking at a small point. The only reason AB is getting criticized, and here in Cleveland, it's because of the color of his skin. And I'm not saying it because of Martin Luther King's birthday. I'm saying that because
it's just MLK Day. His birthday was 5 days ago. But I got you, though. Okay.
Here it is. It's because of, you just said it, this is the first time the Browns have had a first-round pick in years. So if you're judging a man about grabbing talent, getting people like Myles Garrett, getting people like what we have on this team from later rounds, his job is done. He's had an A-plus. Getting talent here is an A-plus. What we cannot and we cannot judge is someone's heart and will to play here. But we also can't judge whose job is it to get these guys ready. That's not Andrew Berry's job. Andrew Berry's job is to get the talent here. It's our coaches, and coaches have job to get to maximize the talent and get these guys ready. So when we talk about who should be losing their job because these guys are not coming to play, or these guys are not ready, or it seems like these guys are not ready, we have to put that on the coaching staff. We can't put that on the ownership. We cannot put that on the general manager. It's so many times that we look at these guys and go, oh, this guy's not panning out. Well, just like you said, on paper, we got a Thorpe Award winner. We got the best linebacker coming out that's suggested to come out. We got a cornerback that was supposed to, you know, we got talent that he put on this team. It's not on AB. Even when you're talking about Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson was considered a top five quarterback. But because of injuries, it's not wide panned out. Or maybe because people are not being coached up right.
Cool, right? Let me give you a little bit of pushback. Let me just give you a little bit, because I don't think I disagree with what you're saying. I think at some point, right, because I remember saying a couple of years ago, maybe the offseason before last, it was Andrew Berry's job to go to the grocery store and buy the groceries. It was Kevin Stefanski's job to cook the meal. But here's the thing, and I think this is where a lot of us as fans are confused, and I'm curious to know your thoughts on this. Especially this year, we've heard so much chitter chatter about all the dysfunction, who really does what's this, that, and the third. But the one thing that I constantly hear from Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, this is a collective effort. This is a collaborative type of thing. And I remember saying towards the end of the season, I don't know if you had listened or not, that, you know, if this is what it is, then collectively both y'all asses need to be fired. That's what I remember saying. Because I felt like Let's hear me. I'm giving you your time to rebuttal. I felt like because I don't know what's what for sure, because I can't really put my pulse on it, if y'all don't want to come out here and y'all not going to compromise y'all professional integrity and say, you know what, Paul DePodesta said I got to do this, or Jimmy said I got to do that, so because y'all are not going to come out there and say that, then I'm going to have to put it on you. And that might be a little unfair of me and my position to actually come out and say that. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But at said time, that's exactly how I felt.
Okay, so why I'm hope to clear this point up real. Anybody who's married knows this.
Mm-hmm.
You ever went and cooked dinner with your wife?
I'm not married, so.
I have, Cool Ray. I've been married before. I can answer this question. Talk to me, Cool Ray. Go ahead. Let's hear where you're going, Cool Ray.
When you and your wife decide to cook dinner together, and something just ain't what the way you like it, do you tell her, you know what, you screwed up on this soup? No, you go, you know what, we cooked things together. This was a great experience. Even though you're going to eat the food, but you know she screwed up. They can't come out and go, this coach is bad. Because now you're screwing up someone's career. They're not going to ever do that.
But Cool Ray, let me ask you this, though. Isn't part of the problem in relationships is not being maybe upfront and discussing hard conversations like, hey, you messed up the soup. So if you don't bring that conversation to the table and you just hold that and it's festering, that's not any better than the alternative.
But here's what the NFL does. The NFL allows the coach to hire the GM.
No, that's depending on your structure. That depends on your organizational structure. So I can't.
Hey, Cool Ray, I wish I could keep you longer, man, but I got to keep the show moving, man. Listen, I appreciate the support. I appreciate you calling in. I hope you're enjoying your day.
All the time, brother.
All right, man. Take care, man. Let's get to Nick and Maslin, man, because Nick said he's a terrible drafter. Nick, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm great, man. How's your day going so far?
Another day.
Hey, man. But you know what, though? It's another day above ground. It could be worse for us.
Yeah, I'm with you. At my age, I understand exactly that statement.
Yeah, what you got for me?
Hey, you know what? I've been watching football for 50 years, and then Andrew Berry, I mean, you have to look at the basics. Is he a good drafter? Is he the general manager? Yes, he makes good trades.
Mm-hmm.
But as a drafter, you look at his record. He's had 31 draft picks since he's been here. Nobody realized that. So you Google it and look up his draft picks. He's had 31. How many second contracts has he given out over the time?
I can't think of off the top of my head. I know Jock got a second contract.
Right.
Grant Delpit got a second contract. Maybe.
Exactly.
I think that's it.
And you look at his draft picks. He's hit one out of the park, which is a definite JOK. That's a given.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you look at, and everybody talked about last year, the Cleveland Browns spent $300 million on a team. Why was that? Because, truthfully, look at it, we can't draft. We're spending so much money in free agency because that's what costs to get free agency guys because you're not drafting. You look at the players that he has drafted who are problem children. I can't remember the name of the gentleman from Oklahoma we drafted 3 years ago. The defensive line was supposed to be phenomenal.
Are you talking about Pierre and Winfrey?
No, he's talking about from Oklahoma. I know exactly who you're talking about. He's sleeping with my slipping my mind. But go ahead. I know exactly who you're talking about.
But anyway, that was this. And then Michael Hall this year, it's like, okay, yes, he showed a couple glimpses later in the season. But where was he at the beginning of the season? There were red flags all around him coming out of Ohio State. And I understand giving people chances, but there comes a point when it's like you got to quit rolling the dice on them. We need somebody who has a football mind. Now, Daryl made a great comment about 2 weeks ago. And I understand we're looking for consistency in the Cleveland Browns organization. I get that. And if you don't want to fire Andrew Berry, then you move him to president of football operations and you go find yourself a football guy who knows how to draft football players. That's what we're lacking.
Hey, Nick, I appreciate that, man, and it was a very spirited conversation, man. Way to get your point across without being disrespectful. I think a lot of times when people don't like the situation, they got a tendency to be mean and nasty, but you articulated yourself very well.
But when you listen, and I just real quickly, you made a comment, and everybody says they like Andrew Berry. He's a very highly intelligent person, which is highly obvious.
Yeah.
Everybody likes him. You listen to Ken and Anthony, anybody, they like him, they like him. And I understand that. If he's a good guy and he's highly intelligent, then if you want to keep me in the organization, I get it. But let's go find a football guy to draft football players like a John Dorsey. And I know you can't get him back, but that's what we need.
No, that's facts, man. Hey, Nick, man, I appreciate the phone call. Have a great day.
You too.
shout out to Nick and Maslin. I thought that was a very, very healthy phone call. Mario in Cleveland and Frank in the truck, we'll get to you all, man. He had a lot to say there. You know, it's a lot that goes into it. I think Andrew Berry is a great person. I think he's a really, really good dude. What is his title?
Andrew Berry is the Executive Vice President of Football Operations and General Manager.
So what he's alluding to is maybe Andrew Berry should hire a general manager.
That's probably not going to happen.
That's probably not.
How you going to go to your boss and be like, hey, I want to open up another position for more money? Like, yeah, I don't think that's going to work.
That's not going to happen. But, you know, he holds both titles. And so that says a lot about his character. It says a lot about how much the Haslams trust him. It says, because if you remember, you know, he was about to be out this building. And Jimmy made sure that, you know what, I can't lose this guy outside of my organization. Andrew Berry is well-respected across the NFL. I just think that, you know, do you think he can get better? Like, is it Andrew Berry? Is it the scouts? Now, I'm asking questions I don't know.
I think he can get better, and I think you hit it. You have to also look at who's evaluating the talent. So,
but he hired those people.
Well, you got to go look in the mirror and figure out why you hired these people who's been doing this particular job that they've been doing the last 4 years.
Because, like I think everybody are making points here, right? I don't think nobody is wrong, and we'll get into it on the other side of the break. But, like, is it the talent or is it the coaching or is it a little bit of both? 216-474-0092. More of this conversation next on The Fan. Man, we started talking Ohio State versus Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman versus Ryan Day. Ryan Day ain't out the woods yet. He is not out the woods yet. Right now, we're talking Andrew Berry and how would you assess Andrew Berry from a draft standpoint. You know, and I told James during the break, I like Andrew Berry. I think like the last caller said, everybody likes Andrew Berry. Andrew Berry is a great guy, right? People respect him, you know, but it's okay to call a spade a spade. And when it comes to him drafting players, it's been average at best. And I think that's not unfair. That's not unwarranted.
It is not unfair. And at some point, you know, we can look at all the things surrounding the job, the Podesta, the ownership, the coaching changes. But you were hired to do a job. You have the title. We're not in the building, so I can only assume but so much. If you have the title, I have to grade you for the job. And the job he's done as far as as drafting guys leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah, you know, and I think for me, maybe this is a good example. Maybe it's a bad example. I don't know. But I understand this man has functioned without a first-round pick for the last 3 years.
Whose fault was that?
I don't know. And that's the crazy part about it.
No, no, we do know.
Jimmy Haslam.
No. Let's stop this. Let's stop it today. It don't matter. It don't matter what do you know or what can you can prove, right?
Right.
What we can prove is Andrew Berry is the Executive Vice President of Football Operations and the General Manager. So I can hold him accountable for the football decisions that were made. At the end of the day, if he gets fired, we're going to put it on his feet anyway. So we might as well start today by saying, you know what? There's no more need to say, was it Stefanski? Was it Haslam? Was it DePodesta? Was it this? Was it that? No. Let's stop it right now. It was Berry's reason why he hasn't had a first-round pick the last few years.
You know, at some point, and I pray that this happens before I leave this earth, we're going to get a 30 for 30 one day on the pursuit of Deshaun Watson. I don't even need the saga of how it turned out on the football field. I just think we all want to know the pursuit of Deshaun Watson.
How it happened,
how he got here. Like, I want somebody with a camera that was following a private jet, seeing Jimmy get on a jet, somebody that seen the jet land in Houston. I want to know whose office they was in. I want to know what the color of the seats were in the office. Was you at a glass table? Was it at an oak wood table? Like,
what time did you get there? Deshaun
and Kevin were sitting and going over plays on the iPad, was they sitting across from each other? Was they on a projector? Was they on the iPad sitting next to each other just chopping it up? Like, I want to know what it was like. But the point I was making, the LA Rams, you know, they had a first round pick for the first time since, it's been a while, since 2016. This past draft, they had a first-round pick for the first time since 2016. That is kind of crazy when you think about it, right? That is absolutely ridiculous. And I look at this team. This team won a Super Bowl. This team made some crazy trades, and they signed some free agents. But you know what? The bulk of their roster, man, is drafted players. If you look at the guys that stars now, Kyren Williams was a fifth-round pick in 2022, right? Ernest Jones was a third-round pick in 2021. How about, you know, the fan favorite? Where is he at? Puka Nacua, fifth-round pick in 2023. Okay, you look at this team, and you look at some of the guys on this team that make an impact. You look at some of the guys on this team that has helped get them to where they are. And, a good portion of them are homegrown guys. Guys that was drafted, that was developed in their system, coached up, and boom, put out there on the football field to make plays. And they understood that when they traded their draft, their first-round picks for year on top of year on top of year on top of year, that, you know what, if I'm going to make a move of this significance, I better make sure that my ability to hit on these other picks in the draft, I better make sure that I'm actually hitting on these picks. Because that is the most successful way to build out a roster. Now, I am not somebody I am more than willing to wipe the slate clean and give Andrew Berry another chance to correct this wrong. Because, again, do people change? Should people be awarded a second chance? I think because of how dismal and how, just how much of a gut punch this past season was, I think that Jimmy is reassessing a lot of things, right? I think that a lot of things that has been things to this point probably will no longer be things going forward. I think because this year, having the level of expectations that it had, it was as bad or worse as 0-16, the expansion year, whatever. Because that was the case, I think there's going to be a change of approach from the owner, you know. Maybe, and this is pure speculation, what I'm about to say next. But, you know, if your boy really got that much say, then you need to take it away from him. Because if Paul D. Podesta is really around here making football decisions or got his nose in football decision type situations, then, Jimmy, that's on you to pull his coattail. To tell this dude, be whatever it is you be. You know, help get us sponsorships. Help do the things for promo, right? Help figure out the things that's necessary that's going to come down the line. You know what I'm saying? Let that be your specialties. Let that be what you do. And then let these people do their jobs, right? Because for me, a lot of people don't know this, man. I've been a big fan of Andrew Berry's for a long time. And I'm talking like when he was an assistant with the Indianapolis Colts, right? When I heard that he was one of the lead scouts that was responsible for Andrew Luck, that was intriguing.
What was that?
This is what was coming out of Indy at said time.
It was Andrew Luck, though, man.
But I'm just saying, like, that was an example of, okay, this is a young scout who came to somebody that, mind you, he's only 37 now. So think about how long ago that was. Do you know how appealing that was to whoever in that organization? Who is this young man that kind of, like, went out there and found this kid? Now, whatever, I'm just saying, like, at said time, when you consider he's no older than, what, 25 at that time. Mm-hmm. And you out here making moves like that, you're making impressions on people like that in a franchise that's a Super Bowl winning franchise. So that can't be snarfed at. I don't care who the player is. Like, I got to get a dude that grace. And when you see that, and when you see the other areas of how he's developed other people in front offices and how those other people has went on to get front office jobs elsewhere. Don't forget, man, we got third-round comp picks from Minnesota because a minority general manager was hired. There are so many things that comes to being president of football operations, right? And I just think that when it comes to it, if what he's not checking off is being able to draft players well, then the good outweighs the bad. And maybe in this moment, I'm having this, you know what? Let's step back. Let's reset and see what can happen. Let's get to Frank in the truck. What's up, Frank?
What's going on, big dog, man?
Can't complain.
You on Saturdays, man. You know what I'm saying? Love what you're doing, man. Keep talking that talk, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No doubt. But no, man, I agree with you saying. You know what I mean? And it's like a relationship. I hate to go back to this reference. just because you're pretty and you do this and you do that don't mean what I need. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. This that uncomfortable conversation that people need to have. It's like, I like you. You good and all, but it's like, we got to get it together. So, yeah, Grace is definitely, for what he's done, it's allowed. It should be allowed. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
this is it right here, man. I mean, we already at the bottom. Where else can we go?
Yeah.
And you got to give people time to learn from their mistakes. I feel like he did, so.
Yeah. And you know what? Like you said, man, these are relationships we're talking about, right? And you have to understand that we got to value relationships a lot more. And I try my best to keep that, but I'm human as well. And sometimes, man, when I turn this mic on, emotions get the best of me. I'm not really comfortable ever calling for somebody's job. I'm not really comfortable saying certain things because I think about certain stuff like, you know, would I really want somebody doing that to me? You know what I'm saying? How would I feel if somebody was doing that to me? And so, like, not every host take that approach to things, but, like, I've been doing this 4.5 years, and I've been out here in the real world a whole lot longer, so.
For sure.
No, you know what I'm saying?
I feel you what you're saying, but, I mean, it ain't the emotions. You a Browns fan, bro.
Yeah,
you
know and that'd be the thing. It'd be like, man, damn, Andrew, come on, man. Like,
I know, you feel me?
Like, I told somebody when I watched the Receiver documentary on Netflix this past year, and Amon-Ra St. Brown was naming all the wide receivers that was drafted before him. And when I seen Anthony Schwartz picture next to his, it was something to cringe at.
No, for sure. But no, man, like I said, man, love the work you do. Just had to get you your flowers, big dog. I'm at work just like you, man.
Appreciate you, man. Stay safe, man. Stay grinding, man. Be blessed, bro.
You know it.
All right, let's take one more. Don't forget, we got Cameron Justice coming up at 8 o'clock. Mario in Cleveland. What's up, my man?
What's going on, Earl?
I can't complain. How you doing today?
All right, man. So we had this talk, I think, Saturday morning about the integrity of Andrew Berry and Stefanski. I kind of don't call it disagree with it. I think Berry probably did a little better job than we realized we did. I know it's about what you did for me lately, of course. But when you go through his draft history, I mean, Miles, probably the best, second best Brown ever, third, or however you want to put it, or whatever. In top five, definitely. Ward might be the best Browns quarterback ever, I mean, cornerback ever. Chubb may be the second best running back in Browns history. Barry drafted all those guys. You know what I mean? So we can't forget that. I do think the Browns.
Wait. Let me correct you a little bit, Mario. Chubb, Ward, those are the guys you just named, right? Those guys were drafted by John Dorsey.
I knew you was going to say that. Well, if you go back to it, when John Dorsey came, Barry was the GM. Dorsey was the football operation guy.
Barry was not the GM. Barry was not the GM when he got here. Barry was not even here. I think he was in Philadelphia. At one point, Barry was here as an assistant to somebody. I can't remember who. And then he ended up leaving and going to Philly. And Jimmy brought him back. The same year that Kevin Stefanski was hired. Kevin Stefanski was hired before Andrew Berry was hired, and that was after the John Dorsey era.
So we're talking about 2019. Okay, so, well, if you go back to that, then it goes back to what we talked about Saturday. The football guys. You got to look at what the Lions doing. Who put that team together?
Dorsey did.
Like we said, it's time to bring Jimmy out of the dark. What's going on here? Why did we even let go of Dorsey anyway?
I heard rumors. I can't confirm this, and I gotta go. But look, I'm just letting tell you what this. I heard it was something with him and Paul D. Podesta. So there you go.
Oh my God, the money board. Okay.
All right, man. Be great, brother. Hey, when we come back, man, we have more of this conversation with Cameron Justin from News Channel 5.